Hey friends, welcome back to the teaching and preaching ministry of Mohican Church. I'm thrilled to be able to be here with you today, especially after being gone for quite a bit. I know Pastor Chad preached some great messages while I was gone, and you can find those at the same place that you found this one. So I would invite you to, if you haven't already heard those, I'd invite you to look back into the website and pull up some of those other messages as well. But hey, for today, we're going to be taking a look back in our series that we began in 1 John. And so if you've got your Bibles, we want to invite you to turn there. We'll be in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18 in just a moment. But before we do that, let's pray. Well, Father God, as we gather before you today, we do so thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you give us to come in the name of Jesus Christ. We acknowledge, Father, that we acknowledge our own humanity and our sinfulness before you. We acknowledge, Lord, that were it not for Jesus, we wouldn't dare darken your throne. But because of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, then we know that we have this access into your presence. And so, God, we just come with grateful hearts. We look forward, Father, to what you have to teach us today. And so as we open your word, God, we pray that our hearts would come to life in the hearing of it. So help us, God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to be continuing the series that we began a few weeks ago in 1 John. We're just working our way through it, line by line, verse by verse. And believe it has a lot to say to us as we think about fellowship with the faithful one. That's the title of the series, Fellowship with the Faithful One. Today we're going to be taking a look at remaining in him and being on guard against what John the Apostle describes as many antichrists. All right, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 begins like this. Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, then remain in him. Remain in him. We're talking about this fellowship with the faithful one, and we've been looking back. As we look back over the first chapter and a half that we've covered so far, then we're seeing all these keys. Well, this is what fellowship with God looks like. Well, the Apostle John today is reaching out to us, or what we're covering today, is the Apostle John reaching out to the church and saying, hey, listen, you want to maintain fellowship with the faithful one, then you need to be on guard, because there are those who would love to strip you away. There are those who would love to divert your attention and distract your affections away from the one true God. And so it comes with this warning today. And then the imperative. He says, hey, Christ follower, remain in him. So join me as we take a look, a little closer look. And again, we're just going to go verse by verse through this, ideally just mining the truth from God's word. So dear children, and again, we see the affection that John has for his church. Dear children, this is the last hour. The last hour. Those are phrases that refer to the time period between the first coming of Christ, his first advent, and his second advent, all right? And so, this is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Well, even now, many Antichrists have come. And that might be a little bit confusing to us, because we too have heard much talk of the Antichrist. In fact, in my lifetime, I know that there have been so many different people believed to be that one. World leaders, and it's like, oh, it's that guy right there. Oh, no, I think it's this guy over here. It's something that that for some there is a, I believe, even a dangerous fascination with trying to figure out who it is. And well, here's what we know. The Antichrist is coming. But that's a future statement. The Antichrist is coming. But what John is warning about when he wrote to the believers here in our text today, and the message that he says for us is, listen, even now many Antichrists have come. Well, we know that the Antichrist shows up in the scriptures during the tribulation. It is in that time that I believe after the church is raptured out, it's in that time that the Antichrist is fully revealed. But so what's John saying? That even now many Antichrists have come. Because the Antichrist suggests that there is one, correct? The one who will be the personification of Satan. Well, but what are these many Antichrists to have come? Well, what John's defining here is those who are actively opposing Jesus Christ, attempting to replace him. The goal of these many Antichrists is to distract and discourage Christ followers from pursuing Jesus. And what's the primary method of that? They're false teachers. They look the part. In fact, we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But one of the things that we recognize when it talks about these many antichrists, he said, listen, this is an evidence that we are in the last days. That there are many who would turn away. And I don't know about you, but I was talking with a group of pastor friends just this week, talking with them about how it's like, wow, you know what? It used to be that there was a general acceptance of an appreciation for God's word, for the Bible, for Christian thinking, for there wasn't always, certainly not a deep love for it and a deep respect, right? But there was at least a respectful tolerance, if you will. Just in my lifetime, I have seen that change to the point that, suggesting, you know, this was nearly 2,000 years ago, that John was saying, hey, we're in the last days, and so you need to be aware of that. We're in the last days, and there are many antichrists out there right now. There are many false teachers who are doing Satan's work in trying to distort to distort the word, trying to dissuade people from believing in the one true God. And so, by the way, in case you were to think that well, you know what, as long as you have some general belief in some general God somewhere, well, the scripture is going to make that real clear for us today. But in case you've been thinking, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, they were fervent in their beliefs. Friends, what we understand, who we understand Christ to be, and what we understand about him is absolutely vital. Because we're going to see in a moment what's right at the heart of this teaching of these antichrists, the ones who oppose Jesus Christ and are desperately empowered by Satan himself, they're desperately trying to undermine, to get into the hearts and the minds of those who would follow after God. So in evidence that we're in the last days, you might be saying, okay, but wait. So he says the last hour, the last days. He talks about that, and this was written 2,000 years ago, and well, here we are still waiting. I would remind you, lest you be discouraged about that, that when Peter wrote his second epistle, he reminded the church in 2 Peter 3:8 that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. And so that couple thousand years, 2,000 years since this letter was written to the church that we're looking into today, we could say, oh my goodness, that is so long. And how can we even trust this? And with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day. And so, don't lose heart, friends. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, your heart in his word. But so verse 19 tells us more about these many antichrists. He says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained in us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Now here's something that's important for us to understand about these antichrists, these false teachers. They often, in fact, it's one of the ways that their deception is effective, is they've been around the word. They have been in church circles. In this case, you know, they went out from us. So John's acknowledging, no, these false teachers, they're individuals who one of their primary methods, it seems, is using enough religious sounding terms to be able to distort, to get somebody's attention and think, oh, we speak the same language. A lot of people are led astray by someone who has been around the scriptures enough to know the right words, but has denied, as we're going to see, but has denied the Christ himself, had a form of godliness, denied the power thereof. And so these who went out from amongst us, they didn't really belong to us. John was saying, no, listen, this is really important for us to understand. These were professing believers. They professed with their mouth, professing believers, but they denied the incarnation and the true identity of Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you, if you're still having trouble wrapping your mind around it, it helps me to think about Judas. Do you remember Judas? I know that you're not that old, but you remember Judas, reading about him? The one who was right there in the 12. I mean, we sang his name, when we sang the song about there were 12 disciples. We included him. He was included. Jesus knew. He was part of the group. He hung out with the other disciples. He was right there with them. Picture a heart like that. He had been around. He knew the right terminology. He knew the right things to say. He knew the places to go. He knew the customs to follow. He could play the part so well. In fact, he truly was. You might refer to as this ministerial masquerade, right? I mean, he played the part so well, but eventually the truth about him came to light. Eventually, his true colors were revealed, and suddenly it's like, oh yeah, we know who this guy is now. His heart. I mean, they had seen it. They had seen little glimpses of it. Jesus knew all along. But finally, that truth came to light when Judas was willing to sell his Savior for a handful of coins, to sell the Lord of glory. And so we saw the heart. That's the heart of these false teachers. That's the heart of these antichrists. And so when it says they went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us, what John's talking about, there is not somebody. You know what, it's gotten especially easy in our world today, in the American church, where there is a church seemingly, there is a gathering of believers seemingly at every intersection, where there is that kind of an atmosphere, in a culture where people find such limited loyalties, I mean, we've gotten so used to in the American culture, it's just like, I want what I want, and I want it now, and if I don't get that, I'll just go down the street. We do that with businesses, we do that with, sadly, we do that with friendships. If I don't get what I want from you, I'm just gone, I'm out of here. And sometimes people do that with churches. Now, there can be really good reasons to step away from a congregation. As an example, if there is a false teacher in the pulpit, if that which is not according to the scriptures is being highlighted and revered and exalted, well, then sure, that's a problem. But this isn't a matter of some, you know, believers moving. And maybe there are other reasons. We've heard a lot of different reasons over the years where somebody's like, "Oh, you know what? Listen, I really just can't worship here anymore." But they go down the road. They go down the road and they're worshiping someplace else, and they are still in the faith. See, it's important for us to get it that this isn't somebody who said, "Well, John, you know what? You're a really cool guy and everything, but this particular congregation that you're a part of, I'm not interested in being part of that congregation anymore. I'm going to go worship the Lord Jesus Christ and exalt his name with the believers in another town, in another state." That's not this. This is those who were turning, rejecting the faith. That is what we see here. They went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. Okay? Verses 20 and 21, take a look. "But you," he says, "to the faithful believers, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth." You have this anointing from the Holy One. What's that about? What is this anointing? Well, in the context, as we read down through, it seems very clear that this anointing from the Holy One is that they had received, these followers of Jesus Christ, the church, the faithful ones to whom John is writing, had received the Holy Spirit. You know the truth. You know the truth. And so, and for him to look at this, he was sending them a letter, so I guess he wasn't looking at them. But as he was thinking of them, as he was writing what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write to the church, he's thinking of this body of believers, and he says, "You know the truth." Reaffirming for them that he's like, "No, listen, what you have heard from the beginning of your faith, when you first turned your heart to Jesus Christ, you've heard the truth, you know the truth. That which you have tucked away in your head, in your heart, that which you know to be true, you've believed in, that is truth." That's an important thing, especially in a time when there were these false teachers. There were these antichrists who were trying to get people to turn away from the deity of Jesus Christ, trying to get people to turn back from the one true God revealed to us in his Son. And so John says, "No, listen, what you've been clinging to, that which you have been trusting in, that is indeed truth." Remember, by the way, the credibility that John had. He even opened this letter by saying, "Listen, that which was from the beginning," 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it. We testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us." Once again, that eternal life being Jesus Christ, that eternal life which appeared. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus said. Well, anyway, the Apostle John, writing to these believers, said, "No, what I am proclaiming to you, I have seen and heard." Okay? And so here is John again, verses 20 and 21 of our text this morning, when he's saying, no, listen, what you know is truth indeed. That which you have learned from the beginning. You've got this anointing from the Holy Spirit, and all of you know the truth. Okay? The Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit reminds you of the truth, which has been taught through the person of the Christ. And so John's just verifying that with them. He's like, no, listen, there's a lot, and even in our day today, so many trash talkers out there. So many trash talkers out there. You pull up the internet, something on the internet, and just throw a biblical question out there, and you're going to get so many responses to it, and so many are going to be false teaching. So many are going to be the spirit of the Antichrist who are answering, whose sole goal is to get you to reject God's word, to get you to turn away from the Christ. Satan is a liar. He's the deceiver, father of lies. You know, a liar and the father of lies. And so we see that evident in those who are doing his bidding, the many Antichrist. Okay? So verse 22, so who is the liar? It's the man that denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. So who is the liar? Who's the Antichrist? The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the chosen one, sent down from heaven for the salvation of man. And then notice, as it says, we're going to come back to that, by the way, but there in verse 22, notice when he says, it's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ, such a man as the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And so there is this implied unity. We do understand, I believe with all my heart, according to the scriptures, there is unity in the Godhead, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. All right? I think it's all through the scriptures. I think there is no turning, there is no division in the Godhead. And so, and that's implied right here in this text also when he said, the Antichrist denies the Father and the Son. How does he deny the Father and the Son? By denying that Jesus is the Christ. And so it implies that oneness, that unity between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because again, he's already talked about the anointing that we have from the Holy One. So let's continue. Such a man is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And then listen to this. No one, verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. It's such a powerful verse, especially in an age where we have so many people. You have friends, as I do, who would say, well, no, listen, you know what, I do believe in God, I love God. Just all those exclusive claims of Jesus Christ, I can't quite grasp on to those. So I'm not so much about, you know, and when you talk to them about, so how are things between you and Jesus? Oh, I believe in God. Well, tell me about your faith. Oh, I believe in God. Hey, do you know where you're going to go when you die? Oh, I believe in God. Okay, that's awesome. Tell me about Jesus. I believe in God. What's verse 23 say? No one who denies the Son has the Father. No one. I have been asked before, it's like, well, but Pastor, what about this world religion and that one over there? What about them? I mean, there is only one God, so they call them a different name. It's like, okay, hold on, back up the bus. What have they done with Jesus? Because if they deny that Jesus is the Christ, if they deny the Son, they do not have the Father. And so if their worship, and this is hard teaching, and I understand this, but I think the scriptures are clear, and we must be clear where the scriptures are clear. If one denies the Son, then he does not have the Father. And so for those who would say, well, but that religion sincerely believes, yes, but that religion that sincerely believes, they call God by a different name, but they deny the Son, Jesus Christ, because they do not have the Father. If they do not have the Son, they do not have the Father. It's really, really clear. There are things, I would grant you, there are things that are difficult and hard for us to understand in the Scriptures. There are things that cause us to scratch our heads, and things that we ultimately come to a place where it's like, you know what? I'm confident that if God wanted me to know that, He would reveal that to me. But He hasn't done that yet. And so I'm just going to have to trust His Word on that subject. This subject, though, He's just really, really plain. No one who denies the Son has the Father. So in other words, if a person rejects Jesus, that person neither has Jesus nor the Father. There is one way to the Father, through Jesus the Son, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But there is one name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so over and over and over, and that's just a sampling of passages that remind us of the Jesus Christ being our sole source of salvation. But if a person rejects Jesus, he has neither Jesus nor the Father. Scripture is just very, very clear about that. If a person receives Jesus as the Christ, then that person has both the Father and the Son. So what clear teaching we have that those out there who would claim that they love God, they're all about God, but they reject Jesus Christ. Well, the sad truth is that those individuals are lost and bound for hell. I know we don't like to talk that way. That seems like such a narrow understanding of the gospel. It is a narrow way, according to Matthew chapter 7. It is a narrow way. The wide road, the broad road that people just stumble into, that's the one that leads to destruction, to damnation. The road to eternal life is a narrow road. Only a few find it. It's only in Jesus Christ. That requires an intentional searching, an intentional decision to follow Jesus. All right? And so listen, you say, Pastor, that's really troubling teaching. Because I have friends who just love God but don't want anything to do with Jesus. Then I want to encourage you to reach out, to plead with them, to appeal to them one more time as God gives you utterance to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Because if one does not have the Son, he does not have the Father. End of story. And if you and I have the love of Christ in us, we can't be okay with that. And so we must tell them. Verses 24 and 25. See what you have heard from the beginning. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. What you have heard from the beginning. When they first came to believe, when God opened the eyes of their heart and they heard the teaching of Christ and they recognized their deep need, they recognized their sin and their deep need for a Savior. And they cried out to Jesus Christ for His mercy and His grace. When they first came to believe, what you have heard from the beginning, you see that remains in you. And so my brother, my sister, what are you doing to cultivate God's Word in your heart? What are you doing to make sure that it maintains its rightful place, your love for, your appreciation of God's Word? Or has it in your heart, in your life, like many, just kind of gotten pushed out? It's just like an aside. Well, Here, let me get my daily verse. That's going to be my devotional thought for the day. Those devotional thoughts are really great, but they're no substitute for immersing ourselves in the Word of God, for truly feeding on the Word, meditating upon it. John says to the believers, you see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Are you a student of the Word? Are you truly feasting on God's Word? Have you gotten careless? Have you gotten lazy? Have you not even noticed your spiritual malnutrition? I want to encourage you, as I am challenged and encouraged by this text, see to it that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. You guard that truth and cultivate it and stir it up. So anyway, if it does remain in you, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised, even eternal life. Again, the goal of the Antichrist is to get the follower of Jesus Christ to stop following, to get the follower of Jesus Christ to walk away from God's Word, to depart from the people of God, to push away from the table of his grace, to shove back and to deny the way of Christ and to deny the faith. The best remedy that we have to false teaching is our knowledge of the Word of God. He has given it to us. Are we faithful to be students of it? Actually, by the way, can I just throw in a plug here real quickly? We have winter classes every year, January and February, each Sunday evening. We have winter classes. We've been doing this for quite a few years, except I think we took a break for COVID. But anyway, we're back at them, the good Lord willing, in January and February. And one of the classes that I'm going to be teaching during that series is how to study the Bible. And so if this is a thing where you said, well, listen, my time in the Word is so limited because I just don't have confidence to know that I'm doing it right, that I'm handling it correctly, well, then I want to invite you out to class, all right? It's going to be here at the church on Sunday evenings, January and February. So come and join us. So powerful, so that we are not led away if God's Word, the truth of God's Word, is going to remain in us. And it's so important that we know the truth of God's Word, how to study it, how to go back to it, how to be regularly immersed in it, so that its truth conquers the error of the false teachers. All right? Verse 26 is simply this reminder, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Friends, this reminded the early believers there to whom John wrote, and it reminds us today, this is an active threat. We're familiar these days with the phrase like active shooter. Unfortunately, we've heard that many times about school systems and malls and large corporations, workplaces. Active shooter. That's an awareness. When you hear that term, it's like, okay, hold on. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily squeezing the trigger right at that second, but it means, no, this is a hostile environment. It's a hostile environment. The danger is imminent. The threat is real. And so when John says to the church there, guys, they are trying to lead you astray. They're actively seeking to mislead you, actively seeking to turn you away from Christ. Are we living, and I say we because I'm in this too. I think sometimes I get pretty casual. Sometimes I get apathetic. I'm not sure what the right word is. Maybe it's just pathetic, But there are times I know that I'm not living as if this is an active threat, but it is. It is. They're using media, newspapers, books, internet. They're using Twitter and whatever. There are those in public education who are seeking to tear believers away from that. There are those, you look on college campuses today, higher education is so fueled by this anti-God thinking, this anti-Christ spirit. It's all around us, and it's an active threat, and they're good at it. Are we living like it's an active threat? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 reminds us that our enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20 reminds us that we need to put on the full armor of God. And one of the things that he highlights in there is, listen, you've got to have that belt of truth. You've got to have that belt of truth. Well, where is truth? It's right here in the Word of God. We're reminded, you know, in an active threat situation, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, we are reminded, listen, we have to take every thought captive. How many times do we just open up our ears and we open up our minds and our hearts to nonsense, to gibberish? Think about the hours we spend mindlessly scrolling. Think about the hours that we spend mindlessly watching whatever drivel is on TV. Think of all the ways that our minds are confronted. Even you can't even go buy gas these days without blah, 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 blah. There's some talking head there where it's like, listen, dude, I just want to get my gas. We're confronted regularly. And we're called, recognizing that our enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking those that he may devour, we are called to take every thought captive. And so are we living as if it's an active threat? John said, well, you'd better. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing that you received from him remains in you. What is this anointing? Again, the anointing, the presence and power, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit who's come to indwell the believer, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 and 15, we read so much about the ministry of the Holy Spirit who teaches us. That's why it says, by the way, you do not need anyone to teach you, because he's talking about the confidence that the believer can have in the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry. And then he says, hey, listen, this is all real. This is not counterfeit. Just as the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry has taught you, remain in him. And so, church, we must be on guard. We must be on guard about the many antichrist. We can get so caught up in things of the end times and in all of that, and think about the Antichrist and all the fanciful conversations that take place in lunchrooms and on social media and all the tweets and things like that go out, and so much speculation. Let's not lose sight that even in this day, long before Christ, maybe long before Christ raptures out the church, maybe not long at all, but in this day, while we are awaiting the rapture of the church, John says, hey, listen, you got to remain in him. And there are those who are actively, many antichrists, who are actively seeking to tear you away. Church, you and I, we need to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Well, Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for the warning. To know that there is danger and to say nothing of it, Lord, that would not be a good thing. In fact, Ezekiel reminds us about the watchman on the wall and says, hey, listen, if the watchman on the wall reminds or warns the people of danger and they do nothing and they are destroyed, well, then the blood's on their own head. But if the watchman on the wall sees danger and does nothing to warn the people, then if they are destroyed, the blood is on his head. Father, I thank you that John, the apostle, saw this danger coming with the many antichrists and said, listen, you guys got to know this. And Father, I pray that I would proclaim it fearlessly as I should, that we would be alert, that we would be on guard, that we would remain faithful, Lord, on that firm foundation of your word. in full confidence in the Holy Spirit's work. For the glory of your great name, we pray. Amen. Well, hey, I appreciate you tuning in today. Thank you so very much. If I haven't told you lately, I love you like crazy. We'll see you around soon. Thank you.